Greetings, brethren and sisters in the Lord. Certainly glad to be here with you this afternoon. And I hope that and pray that the Lord would be with me and you, that we might rejoice together for a little while. It needs to be like it was on the day of Pentecost, when there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind and the Holy Ghost fell on them. That's what we need if we're to preach the gospel to you. We need the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit from on high. And you need it. You know, sometimes it's not the preacher's fault that he don't preach. It's hard to preach to a bunch of sheep or feed a bunch of sheep if they're not hungry. God's people need to pray before they come to church service, and they ought to come to church hungry, desiring to be fed from the crumbs that fall from the Master's table. And so we earnestly desire that you remember in your prayers. I've heard a lot of gospel sermons in my life, and I've never got tired of it. Never satisfied. Well, I'm satisfied with the gospel, but I always want to hear another one. I always want to hear another gospel sermon preached. I'm talking about the gospel in its purity. Paul said there would be some that would pervert the gospel of Christ. That's not the kind of gospel I want to hear. But we'll never be completely satisfied till we raise in His likeness and we'll see Him face to face. Well, we like to hear Him preached, want to learn more about Him and know more about Him, but we'll never be satisfied completely until we wake in His likeness. Yonder in the glory world, where He is now sitting on the throne as King, as our King. Now in Samuel had got old, and Israel wanted to be like the world, and they wanted a king. And it insulted and displeased Samuel that they would want to do that. God told him, Samuel, He said, they've not rejected you. They've rejected Me. He said, hearken to them. He said, listen to what they have to say. And give them a king. But He said, you also tell them what He, the King, will want from them. And He said, this will be the manner of the King that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for Himself, for His chariots, and to be His horsemen, and some shall run before Him. And so on and so forth, and make them captains over thousands and over fifties, and do His work. And said He'll take a tenth. But still, they said, we want a king. They had a king. They had the King of Kings. Israel was a theocracy. They were ruled by the God of heaven. God appointed judges to judge between matters that might come before them. But they wanted to be like the world. And that's some of our trouble today as old Baptists. You know, there's some old Baptists that want some big preacher to rule over them. That just seems like it's human nature for them to do that. But they will take from you if they rule over you. But we see here that the king did exactly as Samuel said that he would do. But I want to speak to you about another king. I want to speak to you this afternoon about King Jesus for a little while. If God would be so pleased that he would grant us liberty, that he would grant us the Spirit, that we might be lifted up and that we might see him as king. As Isaiah seen him one time in the temple, he seen him high and lifted up, and his train or his glory filled the temple. I would like for his glory to fill this auditorium this afternoon, that we all might feel the touch of his glorious hand one more time, and to eat at his table that he has furnished. But as we see him as King of Kings, you know, he's always been king in that sense as God. That first article in that minute might be a little confusing at first, as the brother thought it might be. There are people that will come around to your door and tell you that Christ as God was created, that he is a lesser God than God the Father. But that's not what the Scriptures teach us. The Bible teaches us that that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. Oh, that's the one that we're talking about. But we see when he came into this world, that is, when the divine Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. That is, there was a union between the divine and the human nature. John said, "We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We see there was a union, and he was to be first. He was the firstborn of every creature, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That's what he's talking about, that he might be first in all things. But we see him as king. He created all things. The Godhead creates, God the Father created all things through Christ Jesus as the instrument in creation. Oh, yes, in all things. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Oh, yes, and by him all things consist. Oh, yes, the stars move in their circuits, and all things move, and they are upheld by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that one of which. Now, over here in Zechariah, it's talking about Christ as being king in another sense. He said, "Rejoice." He said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, O daughter of Zion." Yes, ye daughters of Jerusalem, you elect Jews and you elect people of God that live in Jerusalem. He said, "Rejoice, for your king cometh." Yes, he cometh. Yea, for some. Yes, indeed, in that day and time that was looking for him. They understood the Old Testament prophets and what they prophesied of the grace that should come unto them, talking about the promised Messiah. There were some that was looking, and rejoicing, such as O Simeon, which it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ, until he had seen the salvation of the Lord. Oh, that little babe that was born in Bethlehem of Judea. It said, out of Bethlehem Ephrathah shall come him, that king, that glorious one that the Old Testament prophets seen in their prophecies, which the Holy Spirit revealed unto them. For they spake not, as the Apostle Peter said, they spake not by the will of man. But he said, holy, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, prophesying of that which would come unto us. Although they wouldn't get to see it, they all died in faith, believing that he too, that king that should come, would also redeem them from all their iniquities. Oh, yes, it was prophesied way back yonder in Eden. Oh, yes, to our first parents. It said he, the seed of the woman, would bruise the serpent's head. He would destroy the devil and all of his works. Ah, yes, Satan was to bruise his heel, but was Christ was to bruise his head. And we see those things taking place. We see the king. He said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. You know, sinners have always looked for salvation. They've been all back through the ages. The sinners have always fell upon their face and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. Millions of witnesses to witness to salvation. Oh, yes, he's just and lowly and bringing salvation. For everyone that's ever saved will be saved by him. There's but one Savior. That's the one that was designated by God. That's the one Gabriel came down from on high and preached the gospel to Mary and to Joseph and said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. That word means Savior. And the word means Messiah means anointed. The anointed Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. His people from their sins. According to that covenant of grace. Which was made between the three divine persons in the Godhead. Yes, Christ became our surety way back yonder, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and effectually called by His Spirit, by His grace, sometime here in time. But He is the Savior, having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey. Ah, yes, riding upon a donkey. Who would think that a king would ride upon a donkey? Ah, yes, the Jews made a mistake. They misinterpreted the Scriptures. They was looking for a king like Solomon, an earthly king, to be dressed in his royal apparel and set upon an earthly throne and to deliver them from the yoke of bondage that they were under, politically speaking. But that ain't what old Balaam said. You know, he went over there to curse Israel. But you know, a donkey forbade the madness of the prophet. You know, this one, this donkey that Jesus rode into Jerusalem, a man had never sat on him before. But we see the Master. Now we see the Master sitting upon this donkey that had never been rode before. We see the same one that met old Balaam way back yonder, caused that old donkey to speak. He's the same Christ. He's the same King that takes the base things of the world and takes the feeble things of the world to confound the wise. You know, there are not many noble, nor not many mighty, nor not many wise after the world that he calls to the gospel. He takes the base and weak things of the world like me. And he calls us to preach the gospel, that glorious gospel of the kingdom, which he sent him out to preach and which he preached himself so gloriously. Yes, that gospel which brings life and immortality to light. That gospel which has touched my heart many, many times. Even back when I was a child, I knew something was going on when the gospel was preached. I didn't have the wisdom to understand that God had done something for me when I was a child. But the gospel had power in it. Yes, it did. Because something had been done in her heart. That glorious gospel of the kingdom, which Jesus Christ preached while he was here, and which wasn't very popular then. Neither is it popular now. Nobody likes to hear the truth, except the children of the kingdom, those that have been brought to the knowledge of the truth. But he said, he shall come unto thee, riding a donkey. Yes, he did. And when he came, riding that donkey, that colt, one had never been rode on before, when he went into Jerusalem. Oh, the little ones begin to shout, Hosanna to the King of David. Ah, yes, there's always someone around that's going to shout his praises. Ah, yes, there is. I wish I could preach in such a way. I wish I could preach the gospel to where everybody that's here that's not been baptized would come down and want to do so and be baptized in water. I wish I could preach. I've been trying to preach for several years. I just wished I could preach in a way that would be plainer to God's little children, to where they want to come home to the King, that they might want to enter into the kingdom, that they might want to sit down at the Master's table and to sup and to eat with Him. Oh, how gracious and how precious it was. Our King greatly provides for us. Aye, He surely does. But you see, when Samuel anointed Saul as king, he anointed him with oil. Ah, yes, he did. But we see one when he came there to be baptized of John in the River Jordan. We see he also was anointed. Ah, yes, the Holy Spirit came down from on high. It surely did. And in a bodily shape, like a dove. It didn't look like a dove, but it was in a bodily shape and came down like a dove. When it lands, it comes straight down. We see he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows, because he was above his fellows. He has the preeminence in all things. He is first. But we see he came, and he was born there in Bethlehem of Judea. He was born the king the very moment he was born. Simeon knew it. That old prophetess knew it. And the children of the kingdom. The children of the kingdom are the elect of God. Yes, they are. You know, we talk about the wheat and we talk about the tares. But the children of the kingdom, they all don't enter into the kingdom. No, there may be some here today that needs to press their way into the kingdom. There may be one here today that has a burden on their heart to follow the Lord in baptism. My instruction to you is to obey what the Lord has laid up on your heart and lay your burden down by the riverside. Oh, yes, indeed. That's the way it's supposed to be. But we see Christ coming, riding on a donkey. And kings were enthroned. Stephen seen our king and seen him enthroned in heaven when he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the Jews. They stoned him to death, and he looked and seen heaven opened and King Jesus sitting on the right hand of God. So Christ, as far as Creator and the God of nature, the God of providence, the God of the whole universe, He's always been King. But we see Him being set up as King here in the world over His kingdom, which is His children, the elect of God. Mediatorial kingdom. Over the church. What is the church? It's the manifest kingdom of God. You know, the Jews Christ sent them out and said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's close. It's getting close. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is that which belongs to the elect family of God. The gospel belongs to us. Grace was given us in Christ before the world was. He has saved us and called us, not according to our work, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ, and is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And these things are brought to light by the gospel. In order to enter into the kingdom, of course, first of all, before we can see the kingdom or enter into it, Christ must reign in her heart. Christ, in talking about a strong man controlling and keeping his house, he said he can keep that till a stronger one comes along. And he's talking about himself. When Christ takes up his abode in our heart and reigns as king, then we're able to see the kingdom. It's made known unto you, the mysteries of the kingdom. As it's laid down in Matthew, there are several parables that talks about the parables about the kingdom of heaven. And about a sower going forth to sow the seed, that is to preach the gospel, which was Christ. And there was some that it took permanent seed in. Some brought forth fruit, some 40, some 60, some 100. That's the children of the kingdom. That's one that has entered in and brings forth fruit. The Jews were the children of the kingdom, but they wouldn't enter in. Their leaders led them astray, and those that wanted to come in, they wouldn't let them come in. That's what Christ was talking about when he wept over Jerusalem. He said, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Not they would not, but ye would not. The leaders of Jerusalem. That's who he was talking about. They didn't want him to enter into the kingdom. How often would I have done this? And there wasn't many. The children of the kingdom was cast out. The Jews was cast out. Christ wept over them because that they wouldn't come in, because they rejected him. You know, just like Israel of old rejected God as king and chose a king of the world. Just so the Jews rejected the King Messiah. The one that came there, they rejected him. And they turned to the Gentiles. How they went out first to preach to the children of the kingdom. It belonged to them by right. It belonged to them in olden times. And it belonged to them by right. But they turned. And they would not listen. They would not do it. They went and preached the gospel to them, and he told his apostles to go and to preach and to say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But they wouldn't listen. They rejected him. And there's a lot of God's people today that rejects the truth. And then the next time he sent them out, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it don't say anything about a great commission. I can't find that word in the Bible. I can find where that he told his apostles to go. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them whatsoever I have commanded thee, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. And so that first ministry they sent them out on was restricted to the children of Israel, to the children of the kingdom. But they rejected the king. They rejected him, and so they said, "Lo, we turn to the Gentiles." Oh, yeah, they didn't come over here and preach, but they went in to the inhabited world there in the Roman Empire. And they began to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And they were grafted in. We were grafted in contrary to nature. The branches cut off of the wild olive tree were grafted in to that Jewish kingdom. The Jew didn't get any advantage from us. We got all the advantage from them. And so we were grafted in, and it tells us not to be high-minded but fear. You know, I think maybe sometimes we do get high-minded. I've heard it preached that a Jew can't even belong to the church. If that's not high-minded, I don't know what it is. Anybody that believes the truth, anybody that believes the truth and submits to baptism, and as long as they've qualified all other ways, they have a free right to enter into the kingdom of God. First of all, they must be born of the Spirit of God. As this brother preached before, there's power in the gospel after they have been quickened, and not before. Preaching's across them that perish, foolishness. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So Christ is a king, and the church is the manifest kingdom of God here in the world. He has given her. He is our king. He is our lawgiver. He is our master. He is the head of the church. He's the one that has the power to call ministers to administer His ordinances. He has established in His kingdom, since He is the king, since He is the master, He has established in His kingdom ordinances of baptism and the ordinances of the Lord's Supper. Old Balaam said back there, A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise in Israel. Ah, yes, and the wise men from the east. While they was in the east, they seen his star. I don't know exactly what kind of light it was, but they knew what it was. And they went over there, and it didn't say they was three of them, like they try to depict in these nativity scenes. And the Bible don't say how many wise men came. But they came over there. We come to see Him. We come to worship Him. That was born King of the Jews. Here was some. It's just the word magi, which means wise men. I guess it was revealed to them, just like the truth revealed to us sometimes. But they came over there to worship that little one that was in the house, and they brought myrrh and frankincense and all of those things to anoint Him with. They knew He was king. There's some of them that didn't. But they did. And old Herod said, "When you find Him, you tell Him. Tell me where He's at, that I can go worship Him too." He told a lie. He's wanting to get rid of Him. I thought He might want to take His place. But He wasn't an earthly king. Christ never has had an earthly kingdom, or a worldly kingdom, and He never will have. His kingdom consists of spiritual. Where there's a king, where is the kingdom of heaven? It's where the king is, right here today, where we're at. Where the king is in the midst of us, that's where the kingdom is. He never has had a worldly kingdom.
I never have and never will. As mediator. Oh, it's a spiritual kingdom. He set up the gospel. Even ordained it before the foundation of the world. That its children might be taught the mysteries of the kingdom. That they might come into it. That they might eat and drink at his table. As my Father's given unto me a kingdom, I give unto you a kingdom. That you may come in and sit down with me and sup with me. His bride. Yes, his bride. That we might indeed partake of the things which her husband has provided for her. You know, there's one come in one time when they invited him in. And he found one that didn't have on a wedding garment. He found a legalist. Somebody that believed in works. And talking about the Jew, which was cast out. They said, bind him and cast him out. He ain't got no business in here. People that believe in works and don't give God the credit. Don't give Christ the credit for salvation. They don't belong in the kingdom. They need to be on the outside. That's what happened to the Jews. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, how God's people among the Jews have suffered these many years for turning away from Him. They didn't know the time of their visitation. They'd been deceived by tradition of the elders. They'd been taught that which was wrong, taught that which was wrong. And they've suffered. And it was given to the Gentiles. And so brother, we got to take care of it. But we got to occupy. We've got to set our affections on our King. We've got to do the thing. We've got to come out from the world. Yes, we don't want to be conformed to the world. That's one thing that's wrong with us. You know, the things of the world's like leaven. It begins to work. It starts on the outside, appeals to the senses. First thing you know, it's all reached all the way to the soul. And you become cold and indifferent. That old TV and all those things of the world. It has gradually turned us indifferent and cold in the church. You don't hear the sisters shouting like you used to. You don't see the things you used to. It's not God's fault, it's our fault. We've been conformed to the world, little by little, like leaven, until we've been turned to a certain degree. We need to fall down on our knees, and we need to pray, and to tell the Lord to give us the Spirit. Lord, yes, fall down upon us with the Spirit, and lift us up past the cares of this world. Let us be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That we might come into His kingdom. He said, many shall come from the east and west, and from the north and south, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, and the children shall be cast out. Yes, they will. I don't want that to happen to us while we live here in the world. I don't want us to get high-minded and fear, but I want us to do the things that would cause Him to bless us more and more. But Christ is king over His spiritual kingdom. He's in the hearts of all of His elect people. You know, there's good people all over this world, and some's never, as the brother went before, some's never heard the gospel. But God's still in here. It might be a diamond in the rough over in the jungle. Might be somebody in Alaska. That's the children of the kingdom. Christ rules over all of His people, but the church. My love, my dove is but one. The church is the manifest, visible kingdom of Christ. Is Christ your king? Is Christ your master? Do you want Him to rule over you? Do you want Him to be head of the church? Then you're the kingdom. The church. Christ told Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews, but he didn't have that spiritual knowledge and understanding that he should have had.
said a man must be born again in order to see the kingdom and enter into it. Then it's the responsibility of the child of God to come in. God ain't going to force you. God seeks voluntary and willing subjects. He seeks voluntary and willing subjects to serve him in the church capacity in his kingdom. Jesus said, you won't worship here on this mountain anymore, neither at Jerusalem. But he said, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth, wherever it might be. That's the only way that you can worship God. For it said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God seeketh such to worship him. God seeketh voluntarily and willing people to serve him here in the church kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God has suffered violence. And he says, the violent take it by force. You've got to press your way into the kingdom. If there's some here that's not in the kingdom, you've got to press your way. You've got to press your way into it. If God has burdened you down to be baptized, that's what you ought to do. If he's telling you in your heart that you ought to belong to the church, that's what you ought to do. Voluntarily and willingly serve him here in his kingdom. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.